Okay. If you have a Bible, you can turn it to Romans chapter 16. And I want to just say again, as in most of the epistles that are written in the New Testament, that they will normally begin with doctrine. They will begin with doctrinal truth, the first half of the book. And then the second half will be very practical and more horizontal, the application of faith. When I went to seminary and, you know, learned about preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God, we always talked about observing the text. This is Bible Study Methods 101, but if you want to understand the Bible better, then it begins with observation. Observation for us is probably reading and rereading and rereading the text and becoming familiar with what does the Bible say? What does this book say? And that's what observation is. And you never waste time with observation. But eventually, you want to get to what does it mean? What does the text mean? What was the message, and how do we interpret what we find in the Bible? And so we observe a lot, and that helps us with our interpretation. But if we stop there, like if we have a Bible study and we study the scriptures, and we kind of figure out what it means, but stop there, it's like a woman who is having a baby, and she is carrying the baby, and, you know, months are going by, and then it becomes time to deliver the baby. Well, if you don't deliver the baby, then it's like abortion. It's an abortion in some cases. And so in Bible study, you want to go from what does it say, what does it mean, to how does it work in our life? How does that truth work in our life? There's no way we are going to adequately explain everything that leads up to the one another's in the Bible. But we're doing that right now. And it falls under the category in Romans of how does it work? How do we live out the truth that we find in the first part of the book of Romans, for example? So I want to just talk about greeting one another. It sounds like a pretty innocuous, pretty simple, and it is very simple. But it's not that simple for a number of reasons. I want to just give you a little context for what Paul writes at the end of the book of Romans. So let me get to it here in my notes. It's hidden. So so it has to do with greeting one another with a holy kiss. If you went to the Middle East or you went into an Eastern Orthodox setting, and you came to church, you might find yourself stretched a little bit by the way that they say hello to one another and greet one another, because they do it with a kiss. And we're going to talk about that for a minute, but that's in the Eastern Church or in the Middle East. And for some of us, that would be pretty scary. It's the practice of embracing and kissing friends on the forehead or the cheek, on the beard. Such kisses were in no way romantic, much less erotic, and kissing on the mouth was rare, except for married couples, and kissing was common among relatives and close friends, especially when they first came together after long separation and when they departed, as is common today. So to kiss a person of high position was a sign of honor and respect. And so that's one thing. But there's also in the church, okay, among believers, we just need to understand that Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and Rome was, it was Rome, and the believers in Rome were to be connected to one another. Why? Because, and I'll read this, the New Testament church at first composed primarily of Jews carried on the traditional practice of kissing among relatives and close friends. Here it is. Because many new believers were made outcasts by their biological families. In that setting, many new believers, because of their faith in Christ, were being ostracized, were being, and you can imagine, you know what happens today if you are of a particular religious group and then you become a follower of Christ. You know what happens among Muslim background believers. Do you know what happens? You know that. And in the New Testament, that was really similar, that new believers in Christ were often made outcasts by their own family. The spiritual kinship, and here it is, the spiritual kinship of Christians became all the dearer and was frequently manifested by what came to be called a holy kiss. So the context, especially when you're being disfellowshipped, when your own family is disfellowshipping you and keeping you away because of your faith in Christ, there was a need for, the context was for greeting one another. You know, today in our culture, we greet each other in lots of different ways. I mean, with kids, a lot of times it's a fist bump, you know, or, you know, a high five or a hug, or a handshake. You know, that's kind of our culture. That's what we're used to. But in those days, it was a holy kiss. And what I wanted us to look at in the scripture was looking at Romans chapter 16, beginning with verse 3. And I'm just going to read it, but here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that the Apostle Paul was highly connected to other believers. I think it was a rare gifting by God for him as an apostle, but he was highly connected with other people. And so when he wrote his letters, I don't know about you, but I am stunned by his memory and his connection with believers in that setting. I'll just say that when I was in seminary, I took a class or two from Howard Hendricks, and I never forget a lot of things that he said, but one of them was he and his wife were called many, many times to travel and speak in churches and fly all over the country and all over the world, actually, and speak. When he and his wife went, they often came to a new church, and they would come in the door of the church, and then eventually Howard would preach, and at the end of the service, he and his wife had this plan, and their plan was to just make a beeline for the door of the church and head for the parking lot. And the goal of that was they were trying to see how serious the church took about new people coming into the fellowship of believers, to see if anyone even noticed them or tried to reach out to them or tried to greet them, tried to have conversation with them, let alone take them to lunch or something like that. And he said, you'd be surprised how many times they could come and preach and whatever and go out in the car and never have spoken to anyone. I'm sure there were some places that were not the case, but sometimes people say things like, our church is a really friendly church, and I think our church is a friendly church, but the danger often of being friendly is that we are friendly with one another. We're friendly with the people we know. We're friendly with a group of people. We're just wanting to get back to church so we can have a good time with those people. And so I just want to stretch your mind a little bit about the need for connecting with other people. It's relational. It's horizontal. I understand that. But somebody want to get that? I'll talk to them if you want. Perfect timing. But listen to what, as Paul finished his letter to the church at Rome, it's amazing. Greet, verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks. Just think about this. He is highlighting certain people that came to his mind. He remembered their names, and he was thinking about things like their hard work, risking their lives for the sake of the gospel. He was highlighting those to whom not only do I give thanks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church. Greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Turkey, from Asia Minor. He was remembering the first convert to Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. He remembered her name. He remembered her labor. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, perhaps Jewish in their background, and my fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. They came to Christ before Paul did, and he's greeting them. He is clearly greeting them. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Can you kind of get this? He's greeting the church. He's greeting those to whom he is connected. He is making sure that he is honoring them, that he is reaching, that he is mentioning them because they are important. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. I mean, you just kind of get the flavor of what he's thinking. Greet Rufus, a choice man of in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another, there it is, with a holy kiss, with a greeting, with a a holy greeting. All the churches of Christ greet you. So Paul continues his outpouring of love. At the end of his epistle, he was outpouring out his love and affection for many, many believers, many friends, many fellow believers. And he starts with Phoebe. There were, just so you know, it was a mixed group of people at the Church of Rome, at least the ones that he mentioned. He mentions 17 men. And he mentions 7 women in this letter. There were many, many more. But I think it's significant to know that men were actively involved in the ministry, in the life of the church, and men and women both. And there were many who were unnamed in this epistle. But he uses things like fellow workers and those who risked their lives or their own necks for the sake of the gospel. And fellow workers in Christ, beloved, approved in Christ. He had wonderful, good things to say about them. Members of the household of Aristobulus. So in Romans 16 and some other passages, it's not just once that we read this. We're not just taking it out of context and making a big deal about it, but it's over and over again. Romans 16:16 says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." 1 Corinthians 16:20 says, "All the brethren greet you." Greet one another with a holy kiss. There it is again. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. So I think that the gist of the New Testament was, we are living in a time when persecution is strong. Not that it isn't always, but especially during a time when it's tough and persecution is part of the context of the church. And the writers of the New Testament seem to be saying, honor one another, respect one another, show unity to one another, and acknowledge that we are family, and not just to the people who we like to be with. But in the church, it was universal. It was across the board. It was Jew and Gentile. It was male and female. It was rich and poor, slave and free. And so in the church of the Lord Jesus, this command was to treat one another in this way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole church, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body and the building up of itself in love." So let's look at the word holy. We've done a word study on this on Sunday nights, but for our purposes here, it's an adjective, and here's a definition. It signifies that whatever this kiss is, just for clarity, just in case you're wondering, it is different from some sort of romantic or sensual kiss. Instead, it embodies the love, purity, and sanctity of Christian fellowship. So, First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, talking to young believers, he says, set the believers an example in speech and in conduct, in love and in faith and purity. So that's where it says be an example. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but instead this. Set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity. So over the centuries, the practice of greeting one another with a holy kiss adapted to fit various cultural contexts. What remains constant, however, was the godly principle of mutual love and respect for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, I think I'm kind of preaching to the choir here in a lot of ways, but if we need to be reminded that this is important, this honoring one another in the body of Christ and demonstrating love is a big deal. Romans 12, just before the earlier, it says, let, verse 9 and 10, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Then it says, outdo one another in showing honor. That's a good take home, isn't it? Outdo one another in showing honor. So, and I think I've already said in the Western churches, when we talk about greeting, you know, I'll just tell you, this is very simple. This is not very deep, but it was important to my dad. My dad was a very relational man, and he and my mom went to a church in Seattle, a big church, and they had a front door and a side door from one parking lot and another door, and so they always organized the greeters in the church. They had to, because they were taking this pretty seriously, and I realized that Sunday morning is not the only time to practice this, but for my dad, it was really important when they came to church, and they came in one side door together, and they always had a greeter there. And that's a good thing, except it really made my dad kind of ticked off every Sunday because he was coming to church and, you know, there was someone there that should have been paying attention to him, maybe giving him a little bit of eye contact. For sure, he... Well, I don't have one here, but it doesn't matter. So he had they had a bunch of bulletins, and his job was to greet people as they came in from the parking lot. And so my dad would always get a bulletin, and he would always shake hands, and he always had a greeting from the greeter. But what ticked my dad off was that the greeter, this particular one, when they came to the door, he would hand my dad a bulletin, shake his hand, but then he would look at the people coming in behind him, you know? And it sounds very human, but my dad just wanted someone to look him in the eye and say, I'm really glad you're here today, Roy. You know, it was a small thing. But I think it seems to be that on a human level, we need people to have eye contact with us, and we need to receive a greeting that's done in genuine love from one another. And I know that the Christian life goes far beyond that. You know, I'm not just talking about a handshake and a bulletin, but it just has to do with the way we look at and treat other believers. Every believer is precious to God, part of the body of Christ, for whom Christ died, for whom Christ poured out his blood in sacrifice on the cross. And so I think that we just need to think about other people, others in the body of Christ. And I suppose if you were going to take a trip to the Middle East, you'd go to a Bible-believing church in Jordan, for example, I think you'd probably find a different cultural setting there. I don't know if they would, you know, kiss you like they do. I'm not too sure, but it wouldn't be a fist bump. It wouldn't be a Western greeting. It would be more in lines with their culture. And Paul said, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. So you might have to change your culture a little bit in that setting. So, yeah. Pretty simple, pretty basic stuff, but I think as followers of Christ, and it goes beyond our church fellowship, it goes beyond this body of Christians, but it also goes to other believers outside the walls of a church, that it's really important that believers connect with one another and that we get to know people. And you know, for a long time, we would have a time in the worship service to greet one another. And so we would get up and shake hands with one another. And, you know, and that can be pretty mechanical, too. That can be like, okay, I shook hands with you. I didn't really want to, you know. I was in a grumpy mood, and I didn't really want to talk to anybody today. But it also gave the opportunity for connecting with other people. And you might be saying, well, that's not me. I'm not a connector. I'm not a relator. I'm not that kind of person. But I'm just saying, Paul seemed to think it was important enough for believers, especially when the heat of persecution was rising up, for believers to look one another in the eye and honor them and acknowledge that they exist and that they're important. And I would just say that if people get up on a Sunday morning and come in the doors of your church, we had this conversation, didn't we? That if people get up and drive and come in the doors of the church, that I am convinced God is at work in them in some way. Otherwise, they would be home watching some football team get beat, or they would be reading the New York Times or sleeping in. And so when people come to the church, it's really important that we acknowledge people. And, you know, I jokingly say invite people out to lunch. But, yeah, we have opportunities right here in town to sit down with people and promote the businesses in town. Kathy and I went downtown last Sunday, and we were trying to decide where we would go to lunch. And then I said, well, I don't think they're open, but if we turn right downtown, there's the Mill Bakery down there. And I've gone there a few times with John up there. And, you know, and I said, well, if they're open, I don't think they are. But if they are, we'll go in and buy some pastries and have some coffee or whatever. And they were open. And they... I don't know why, it was a Sunday after church, but there was a lot of people coming and going, and they sold out everything they had in there, in the bakery down there. And, you know, so I think supporting businesses, sorry, this is not big theological sermon that way, but supporting the people who live here and praying for them, and that's a good thing. And so taking someone out for coffee or, you know, taking them out for lunch or something like that would be an opportunity that goes beyond just shaking their hand. So I'm just amazed in the early church, in the letter that Paul wrote, of his remembering the names of people, especially people who had risked their necks for the sake of the gospel, remembering people that had worked together with him in the ministry of the gospel. He remembered them, and it was a really big deal for him. And you can do a study all the way through Prisca and Aquila, tent makers, you know, that Paul probably ran into in 1 Corinthians, in the city of Corinth, you know, and on and on. So I think that's really what I had to talk about this morning. I just want us to practice it. That's all. I want to practice it. I want to practice it with you and to, you know, I'm pretty convinced that it takes time to get to know other people. It takes time to get to know other people and to ask how they are doing, asking about their lives, their family, their spiritual situation, getting to know where people are coming from. And I think as a body of Christ, we are part of a family. We are part of a bigger thing than just us and the people that we like to talk to. So let's see if I can finish this up. You're hoping. Well, I think I've said what I want to say this morning, so you'll be happy if I say, let's go home. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this church and this church family. Lord, I thank you that as Paul unfolded his letter, his epistle, his important epistle about justification by faith, through faith in Christ alone, and the grace of God, and the lostness of sinners, and the amazing gift of God of salvation. And I know, Lord Jesus, that eventually he came down to human relationships within the body of Christ, and how we relate to one another, and how we love one another, and how we notice one another, and how we encourage and strengthen and invest ourselves in the well-being of other believers in the body. And Lord, I just thank you that Paul was that kind of an apostle, that kind of a man, that kind of a leader. And he was following Christ. He was following the one who called men and women to follow him and commissioned them to go out with the gospel of Christ. So I know Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. And so, Lord, it's Christ. It is Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the mystery that you've given us with other people. Lord, I pray that we would practice this with one another, that we would put it into practice in our relationships with others in the body. Lord, I pray that we would be mindful of people who are lost, people who have no idea who you are, who have no idea what the grace, the gospel of Christ is. pray that we would be ambassadors for you in this day and age. And Lord, we pray for the family up above Guadalajara. We just pray for you to meet their needs and that somehow what we do would touch their lives. So thank you, Lord, for this time together today. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's sing a song and we'll let you guys go.